This evening we turn in the scriptures to Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16 for the text of the sermon. Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone can assure us that we are true Christians. If we try to assure ourselves without the Holy Spirit, we can deceive ourselves. That is dangerous. First, we need the Holy Spirit in order to lay hold of the promises of God and be assured by God's promises. Second, we need the Holy Spirit to show us the inward evidence of His grace in our lives and to witness to our spirit so that we may know through reflecting on our lives that we are indeed children of God. Third, we know by the Holy Spirit's direct testimony to our soul, applying the Word of God directly to us, that we are the children of God. Romans 8, verses 15 and 16 deal with the second and the third of these 3 points. The inward evidences of God's grace and the Holy Spirit's direct testimony to our soul. The Holy Spirit witnesses to our conscience, so that our conscience can witness to His work that we are the children of God. That is a co-witness. The Holy Spirit works in our soul the marks of grace. He works real faith and real repentance. He changes our nature. He makes us a new creation. He renews us from within. He puts us on the pathway of obedience, so that we hunger and we thirst after the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we long to obey all 10 commandments and yes, all the commandments of Holy Scripture. And we long to mind the things of the Spirit of God. He does all these things in us. And then He shows us that He does all these things in us, so that our conscience testifies that even though we do not have any of these things to the degree that we wish we had them, we cannot deny that we do have something of them, and they are precious to us. We know that we could not have anything of them without the Holy Spirit. Every believer knows deep down in his heart that he would never hunger and thirst after Christ and after His righteousness without the Holy Spirit working that hunger and that thirst in his heart. At the same time, the Holy Spirit is testifying that He does that. I cannot deny that I do hunger and thirst after Christ's righteousness, if indeed I do. It is a very real thing. I long for His righteousness. I long for His salvation. I long for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my conscience witnesses, I am blessed because I hunger and thirst after Christ and after His righteousness. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And by God's grace, I am one of those people in whom the Holy Spirit has worked that hunger and thirst after Christ and His righteousness, which I could never create in myself. That is the co-witness of the Spirit with our spirit. The Holy Spirit works in us, and then He enables us through our conscience to reflect on what He has done. And we say, I cannot deny what the Holy Spirit of God has done in my soul. Our text says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit also witnesses directly to us by His Word and applies His Word to our soul. This text sets before us two truths, two facts. First, if you are a Christian, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The second fact is this. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There are many people who have a hard time understanding this second fact, because they have so many ups and downs in their Christian life. When they are down, they do not feel the Spirit bearing witness with their spirit that they are children of God. Right there is the problem. The only rule for faith, what we believe, and for life, how we live, is the Holy Word of God. The Bible. The Bible, not our experience, teaches us about God. It is Holy Scripture, not our experience, which ought to teach us about the work of God the Holy Spirit, including the witness of the Holy Spirit. We must not start with our own experience and then make the Bible fit what we think our experience is. That is putting ourselves above God and above the Word of God. No, rather, brothers and sisters, we must always start with the Scriptures and then evaluate our experience in the light of God's revelation to us. The Bible says here in Romans 8 that the Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is a true statement, a fact. That is what the Holy Spirit of God is doing right now in every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John also testifies to this fact in his first letter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Referring to the witness of the Holy Spirit of God, John writes, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." You may not always feel like you have the witness in yourself, but the Bible says you do. God says that every believer has the witness of the Holy Spirit within himself. What we perceive to be the case with our limited understanding is not always what is actually going on. For example, in the spring, you plant seeds in the ground. Even though you may not see anything going on with those seeds for several days, even a week or two, something is actually going on. Those seeds are germinating in the soil. But they do not pop through the ground without that process of germination, which takes time. The fact that you do not see them germinating does not prove that nothing is happening. And the same is true with the work of God by the Holy Spirit. You cannot see the Spirit of God doing His work. Do you remember that Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 8, that you cannot see the Spirit of God doing His work? He used the example of the wind. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You can hear it blowing, but you cannot tell where it comes from. You cannot tell where it is going. Jesus said, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You can see the result. You can see the fruit of the wind. You can see the result. You can see the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. But you cannot actually see the Spirit of God working. The Spirit is invisible. It does not matter whether you feel the witness of the Holy Spirit. What you feel does not determine what is. In our text, the Lord addresses believers. He says that the Holy Spirit Himself is bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit does not bear witness that you are a child of God if you are not a believer and you are not joined to the Lord Jesus Christ by true faith. But if you are in Christ Jesus, if you are not walking according to your old nature, if you are walking according to the Word of God, which is breathed out by the Spirit of God, then you have received the Spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit of God does bear witness that you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit's work is essential. It is vital to salvation. Jesus taught Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, about the Spirit's work of regeneration, the new birth. He called it being born from above. But that's not the only work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit adopts us into God's family. He makes us children of God. If we are outside of God's covenant, the Lord, by the Spirit, brings us into God's eternal covenant so that there is a special relationship between God and us. If we are already in covenant with the living God, the Holy Spirit of God makes God's covenant promises a reality in our lives. God is our Father for Jesus' sake, and we are His people. That is what it means to be adopted. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make us the people of God, His sons and His daughters. The Holy Spirit who adopted us into the family of God makes us cry out unto God, Abba. Abba is Aramaic. Aramaic is the language which Jesus spoke. Greek was the language of the world in the day of Paul. And that is why the New Testament was written in Greek. But Aramaic was the common language of the Jews, especially in Palestine. During and after the captivity in Babylon, Aramaic gradually replaced Hebrew as the language of God's people. Abba is the Aramaic word, which means father. Abba is the word children used every day for their earthly father. Paul transliterates that common Aramaic word, and he puts it right into the Greek text of the New Testament scriptures. First, he uses everyday language. And then he translates it into Greek. It means father. Paul is saying, we cry out to God, Father. Just like a child cries out to his earthly father. It is by the Holy Spirit that we can call God our Father. It is because of His work to adopt us as sons of God. God is not just the Creator. He's not only the great judge of all men. He's not only the lawgiver. He's not just the King. He's not just the Almighty and Sovereign God. He is also our Father. And we are His children. How you address God indicates what kind of relationship He has with you. You often hear unbelievers cry out, God, or oh my God. unbelievers do not cry out, Father, because they're not God's children. A child does not call his father Mr. King. Christians do not call God the man upstairs. Christians cry out to God, Father. God is our heavenly Father. And that is why Jesus taught us to pray in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Muslims do not address their God as Father. They say Allah, which is the Arabic word for God. They do not cry out, Father, because they are not children of God. The Holy Spirit has not adopted them as children of God. They cry out, God. There are many names for the true and living God in the Bible, and it is right to use them. But every true child of God is brought by the work of the Spirit of God in his heart to cry out to God, the transcendent, eternal, and ever-living God, Father, our Father who is in heaven. No one else can call God by that intimate name. I do not call any one of you Father, because none of you begot me. You are not my father. None of you call my earthly father, Father, because you are not his children. Father is reserved for the children. It is reserved for those who have intimate and special relationship of father and child. Beloved in Christ, we are God's children. The Holy Spirit of God has adopted us, and that is why we call him Father. In the second place, here in Romans 8, our text says that the Holy Spirit is constantly bearing witness with our spirit. He does not just bear witness at certain times in our lives. No, the Spirit of God is continually bearing witness with our spirit that we are children or sons of God. How do we know that? Apostle Paul, in Romans 8, verse 16, uses the present tense of the verb. The verb means to testify with or bear witness with. Paul is talking about action in progress. The Spirit is bearing witness. The Spirit of God is testifying with our spirit that we are children of God. He was bearing witness when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and he is even now bearing witness today with our spirit. This is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit within us. Is like the leading of the Holy Spirit, which Paul speaks of in Romans 8, verse 14. The Holy Spirit of God is continually guiding and leading the people of God. And Paul uses the present tense in verse 14. It is like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul uses the present tense in verses 9 and 11, because the Spirit of God dwells continually in you if you belong to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not like a visitor who dwells in you one day and then leaves the next day and does not return for a week or even a year. No, the Spirit of the living God is dwelling in you right now. And he continues to dwell in you, and he will never leave you if you belong to him. You may not feel like the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. You may not think that the Holy Spirit is guiding you. You may not think that the Spirit of God is bearing witness with your spirit right now, but he is. That is what the Spirit himself says he is doing. It is right here in this passage. In Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How does the Holy Spirit bear witness? He bears witness with our spirit. This is not a solo. It is more like a duet. We're not talking about singing. We're rather talking about testimony in a court of law. Only one witness to a fact is not sufficient evidence in a court of law. You need two or three witnesses who say the same thing in order to establish something as true. And that is what Paul is talking about here in our text. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ by true faith, if you are walking according to the Spirit of God, your spirit bears witness that you are a child of God. You are the first witness. And the Holy Spirit is a second witness to that wonderful truth that you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit confirms the testimony of your own spirit. It says the same thing as your spirit says, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, you may be sure that you are indeed the child of God. How do you know that you are a child of God? How can you be sure that you are a child of God? First, you know that you are a child of God because you are living a godly life. Paul says in verse 1, you do not walk according to the flesh, but you walk according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That means that you do not set your mind on the things of the flesh, but you set your minds on the things of the Spirit, verse 5. And you put to death the deeds of the body, verse 13. Second, you know that you are a child of God because you believe the promises of God in the Bible. For example, God promises in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that if you are being led by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, you are the Son of God. You believe that promise. You know that the Spirit of God is leading you because every day, more and more, you are conforming your life. You are conforming your will. You are conforming your heart and your desires and your loves and your mind to the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit of God breathed out. And third, you know that you are a child of God because you cry out, Father. You say, God is my Father. And your spirit testifies that you are a child of God. That's not the only witness. The Spirit of God also testifies that you are a child of God. The Spirit does not do this by a private revelation outside of Holy Scripture. It's not a little voice speaking in your ear. I testify that you are a child of God. It is not a word of the Spirit in your heart. That leads to agnosticism, being unable to know. Agnosticism is the belief that you cannot know whether God exists and whether God reveals Himself to men. If you need the Spirit of God to speak a word in your heart and in your mind in order for you to believe the promise of Scripture that you are a child of God, on what basis do you know that the voice within you is the Holy Spirit? How can you know that the voice or the word in your heart or in your ear is authentic? It may be the devil. Maybe your own imagination. How do you know it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? There is no way to know for sure. You need another voice to authenticate the first voice. And you need a third voice to testify that the second voice is the Holy Spirit. And the chain just keeps going on and on and on. You always need another voice to authenticate what you heard. In other words, you can never be sure that God is speaking to you. That is agnosticism. The witness of the Holy Spirit is not by private revelation. It is not a word or a voice in your heart or in your mind. How does the Holy Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? The Holy Spirit of God works in your heart and makes you believe the Word of God. He works in your heart so that you believe the promises of God in the Scripture. He gives you faith to believe what God Himself has said in His Word. He gives you faith so that you trust that you are a child of God, just as the Scripture says, because you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're walking by the Spirit and by the Word. The Holy Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit by overcoming all of your sinful objections to God's revelation. He softens your heart to trust and believe all of God's Word. And like a little child, you trust in the Lord Jesus, just as a little child trusts his parents. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit by internal persuasion. There are no divine words outside of Scripture. There's no inner voice. No, rather the Holy Spirit of the living and eternal God works in us to make us accept all of God's revelation of Himself. And He softens our hard heart and He opens our closed hearts and He strengthens our weak hearts and He gives us faith to know and to believe with certainty and with assurance that the Bible is indeed the holy and infallible, the inspired and inerrant Word of God. And He gives us faith to know and believe with certainty and with assurance that the promises of God to us in Scripture are true. They are yes and amen, and they can never fail. They are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit gives us faith to know and believe with certainty and with assurance that we are children of God. And He gives us faith to know and believe with certainty and with assurance that we are justified. God has declared us righteous and not guilty. That we have eternal life together with all of the blessings and all of the gifts that flow from and that accompany justification. That is how the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It is the Spirit's work of internal persuasion within us, not an inner voice. Why does it often seem to us as if the Spirit of God is not bearing witness with our spirit? We do not always have the full assurance of faith because we're struggling with various doubts. We're struggling with the weakness and with the failings of our old sinful nature. We're struggling because the devil is severely testing and tempting us. We're struggling because we've sinned again against God. If we have sinned, we must confess it and repent of it. We must ask for forgiveness from the Lord. We must purpose and strive anew to obey God and to love Him more. And then the Holy Spirit revives in our hearts the assurance that we are children of God. Our own spirit will again testify on the basis of Scripture that we are children of God. With even greater assurance. If we are tempted or have doubts, we must use the whole armor of God to stand against the wicked one. To stand against the temptations. We must seek the strength that God Himself gives, that having done all, we may be able to stand. And we must learn from the Scriptures the way of escape that God has provided for us. And it is right here that we see how vitally important it is to use consistently, faithfully, diligently and continually the means of grace that God has given to us, that He has appointed for us. God maintains and God continues and God perfects His work of grace in us by the hearing and the reading of His Word, by the preaching and the teaching of His Word, by meditating upon the Scriptures, by the exhortations and the threatenings and the promises of Holy Scripture, by the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, by the work of the elders of the church in overseeing and shepherding and encouraging and admonishing and rebuking and correcting us in the life of faith. And that is why the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important, so essential, absolutely vital in the life of a Christian. God has given us such abundant means to maintain and to continue and to increase and to perfect and to strengthen and to grow our assurance that we are His children, that we have everlasting life. And the trouble is that people neglect and ignore the means God has given. It's like someone giving you a pile of money, which you neglect to use. And the result is that you're starving for lack of food. How foolish many Christians are. They're not certain that they are children of God, because they do not use the means that God has given to maintain and to strengthen and to increase their assurance of faith. And through spiritual neglect, the witness of their own spirit is only a faint whisper. They're not exercised in the things of God. No wonder they have no assurance. It's not the fault of the Holy Spirit. It's their own fault. It's like a person who neglects to take care of himself and then finds himself run down and sick. He's so weak that he cannot even get up out of bed. It's like a student who does not study. When the final exam comes, he has no assurance that he will pass. Why? Because he neglected the means to pass it. Diligent, faithful, consistent study. The wonderful thing is that God is gracious to us even at our lowest moments, when doubts and despair seem to overwhelm us. Even when the witness of our own spirit is almost nothing and we do not feel the witness of the Spirit of God with our spirit, then we cry out to God, Father, have mercy upon me. Help me. And even then, the Holy Spirit of God is still bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And the Spirit of God will revive us and will revive in us the certainty of our adoption. We are children of God. They were joined to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul does not say in this passage that we are always aware of the Spirit's testimony. But he does say that the Holy Spirit of God is continuously bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Beloved, if you belong to Jesus Christ in both good times and bad times, you do have the spirit of adoption. And even in your own weakness, even in your own frailty, even in your own sinfulness, when you cry out, Abba, Father, The Holy Spirit bears witness with you. And the Holy Spirit of God regenerated us. He impressed the image of Jesus Christ upon us. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. God predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Jesus Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, and when the Spirit of God saves us, He recreates us in the image of the invisible God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we are being transformed into the glorious image of Christ from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. As the Holy Spirit of God works in us, transforming us more and more into the glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God attests, the Spirit of God confirms, the Spirit of God testifies. We are children of God. You know you are a child of God, because the Spirit of God is transforming you into the likeness of the Son of God, into the likeness of Jesus Christ Himself. The Apostle John says that as children of God, we are like Christ. 1 John 3, verse 2. He says that we practice righteousness, not evil. 1 John 3, verse 10. He says that we keep the commandments of God like Jesus did. 1 John 3, verse 24. And we say with our Savior, Jesus Christ, in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. By the work of the Holy Spirit, you see these things in your life, and you believe that you are indeed the child of God. You cry out, Father. Both your Spirit and the Holy Spirit bear witness together that you are the child of God. That is how you know in your heart that you belong to Jesus Christ, your faithful Savior, and that God is your Father and you are His child. It's not just a guess that you are His child. It's not a fallible hope that might be wrong. No, it is an infallible assurance of faith. And as this assurance of faith grows within you, you are confirmed in the knowledge that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And there's no condemnation to you because you are in Christ Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, if your only hope is Jesus' precious blood shed on the cross at Calvary, and Jesus' righteousness. If you cry out, Father, have mercy on me, blot out all my sins, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Then you witness that you are a child of God. Beloved, do not doubt. Do not despair. But as our Westminster Confession of Faith says, use the means that God provides. Give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure, and then you will know that you have passed from death into life. And then you will know that you are a child of God. Your heart will be enlarged in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, in love and thankfulness to God, and in strength and cheerfulness in the duties of obedience. The Holy Spirit is God Himself who works assurance in our soul. If you suffer from a lack of assurance, ask the Holy Spirit to work more of that assurance in your soul. Cling more to the promises of God in His Word. Examine the marks of God's grace in your life. Ask for His light as you look at them in your own life. and pray for this Spirit work sense of faith, this Spirit work sense of the fruits of the Spirit, this Spirit work sense of fellowship, this Spirit work sense of God is your Father, and of future glory that is your incorruptible inheritance. And God will cause you to grow in the assurance of faith. God will bless you with an even greater measure of assurance of faith. To know that He loves us. To know that we love Him. To know that He has forgiven us all our sins. He has adopted us into His own family so that we may call upon Him as our dear Heavenly Father. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. If you're not a believer, may God overwhelm you with what you are missing. You're missing the greatest joy in life. To have assurance that we belong to God. And God belongs to us. Do not rest until you can say, my Lord and my God, He is mine and I am His. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful gift that You have given to us the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. What a wonderful gift, what a wonderful blessing, that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are Your children, that You are ours and that we are Yours, that we are in Christ Jesus, that You have given us true faith and repentance unto life, that there is therefore now no condemnation. Father, we pray that we may have this assurance of faith. We pray that we may cling to Your promises. That we may believe what You tell us even here in the Scriptures, that Your Spirit is continually bearing witness with our spirit that we belong to You. And Father, we pray that we may diligently use the means that You give, that our assurance of faith may increase, and that the fruits of Your Spirit may increase, that our love for You may increase, and that Your love may even more and more be shed abroad in our hearts. And Father, we pray for those who do not have this assurance, those who do not believe, those who is still under Your wrath and everlasting condemnation. Father, impress upon them the emptiness of their lost condition. Flood them, we pray, Father, with that wonderful, wonderful blessing that they are missing out on. The greatest joy in life, to know that we belong to You, O God, and that You belong to us. And bring them, by the mighty and powerful working of the Spirit, to love, worship, serve, and rest in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Amen.